Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff answering questions emailed to me about Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism. I do this every week or two, depending on the questions I get and my own work schedule. If you want to ask me a philosophical question, feel free. Just send it to leonard@peikoff.com. And my name is spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F. Let's start today with a question about the definition of man. Quote, if a human being is born without a reasoning mind, if he is mentally retarded, is he in fact a man? The answer to that question is definitely yes. When you define anything, you define it within a context. And you understand that that context is present. When you define a living entity, you know that certain possibilities are inherent in such an organism. It can be subjected to an accident and therefore, for instance, go into a coma. In that moment, it is not reasoning, nor does it have the capacity to reason, but it is a phenomenon that results from a certain action on a being with reason. In other words, on a man. Is a baby, you could just as well ask a man. He doesn't yet have a reasoning mind, but we know that living entities grow from the beginning. And when we state their essence, we don't imply, well, they're not what they are until they reach 18 years of age. You could even say, is a corpse a man? And a corpse is a possibility within the concept of a living entity. Of course, when it disintegrates, no, it isn't. But it's not the corpse of an animal. It's not an inanimate object. All these possibilities, coma, babyhood, retardation, etc., are possible or necessary to a rational being. They're part of his potentialities as a living conscious being, and therefore they certainly are not incompatible with his being a man. Now the questioner goes on, what is fundamental to the definition of man? Ayn Rand wrote about this in Introduction to Objectivist Epistemology. What's fundamental is reason, because fundamental means that which explains the greatest number of distinctive characteristics. And the faculty that does this in regard to man is reason. And one more thing from this letter. I'm writing a piece on the potential danger of questions beginning with, is man fundamentally so-and-so, as opposed to, is a particular man inclined toward? Well, I disagree with you and think this is a very wrong-headed idea. If you're going to think properly, you should be thinking in principles. You should be thinking about the fundamental nature of man. You should be observing particular men only insofar, I mean, intellectually, if you want to come to conclusions, only insofar as you can see inductively that it shows something about human nature. Otherwise, you are making yourself concrete bound, as Ayn Rand calls it, unable to think, but merely perceive what's in front of your nose. And that will stunt your mind more than any other thing. That, of course, is the most popular approach to education in today's schools, to make you concrete bound and therefore unable to think in terms of abstraction. But you should fight it rather than write papers defending it. Now, here's another question relating to reason. When did reason become a faculty of human beings? Was it a gradual process, as was evolution? Now, I don't think philosophy, excuse me, has any way of knowing the answer to this question. As far as pure, idle, baseless speculation, you could imagine a primitive, conceptual, first-level faculty and a gradual development, or a gradual development from percepts to grasping similarities and differences and so on. Or you could imagine some genetic or mutation or whatever that changed the brain in some dramatic way and was the genesis of reason. No philosopher has a way of doing that, of knowing that. Philosophers discuss the general principles of the universe and of knowledge. A answer to a specific question from a specific science has to be done by those scientists, in this case, biologists. And then the question goes on, how do we know that we don't exercise a mixture of reason and primal instinct? After all, we gradually evolved from beings that exercise only primal instinct. Well, my answer to that is we gradually evolve from a lot of different kinds of beings. For instance, from beings that lived only in water. So, since that's case, how do we know we're not a mixture of beings that live in water and beings that live on land? Obviously, by observation and reasoning therefrom. And the same thing is true in this case. Now, if I observe people and I observe myself, and I consider the nature of reason and emotions, I come to the conclusion that there is no primal instinct operative now any more than a need to live in a watery environment. Now, if Mr. X says, oh no, I feel these instincts or emotions that are inexplicable, that is a philosophic difference. And he would have to show why those emotions, where they are, that he has them, and that they are inexplicable. They might be inexplicable if he is past the point of neurosis and is in psychosis. But otherwise, objectivism would hold there is no basis for a primal instinct. What is a primal instinct? How do you know that a given instinct is primal or that it isn't? If I'm mad at someone else and I lash out at him and even hit him, is this a primal instinct? A modern instinct? Rational? Irrational? It isn't defined enough for you to know. It's just like if someone were to say, assume that we all arrived here, our ancestors did, multi-generations ago. Therefore, aren't we partly Martian? Now, even suppose that this were to have happened, the spaceships landed, we would have to observe and see, well, do we have four ears or green heads or whatever it is that Martians have or not? And if we don't observe it, we don't have any evidence for it, we say, well, regardless of our origin, this is the way we are now. Another question. I'm deliberately trying to organize these so as to jump from topic to topic and to minimize the questions on politics, of which I get a flood, but which I find least interesting because it amounts over and over to, should I vote for this right-wing candidate or that right-wing candidate? And I think I've given my views on that pretty clearly throughout the last year. I will answer them occasionally, but I'm trying to go to some less political ones. Here is, how has Spinoza influenced you? Well, I could give two answers, one personal and trivial, and one serious. The trivial one is that in my undergraduate years, we were assigned to write a paper on Spinoza, and I organized a polemic, not very intelligent because I didn't know much philosophy, but I decided to attack the whole system of Spinoza. And my professor wrote back, I still remember, brilliantly argued, I think that disposes of Spinoza, which of course it didn't. But that did give me a certain self-confidence at the beginning of my career in philosophy. Wow, if I could dispose of a major philosopher, etc., etc. But taking this question seriously, Spinoza never influenced me because I had discovered what I thought before I really knew Spinoza. Nevertheless, I always admired and still admire him for many of his views, not the mystical side, but for instance, his upholding in many places of self-preservation as the standard of ethics, his advocacy of egoism, his understanding that emotions come from ideas, his understanding that reality is not merely a pile of disconnected concretes, but has principles and connections that make it intelligible. There are many, many good things in Spinoza, although I can't say that I hold those ideas because I read him. Now I go to a question or a series of them about Ayn Rand and her novels. Ayn Rand said that her literary purpose was the presentation of an ideal man, culminating in John Galt. Dagny is obviously an ideal woman. What was Ayn Rand's attitude toward her? Well, total admiration and the conviction that they were totally equal, Galt and Dagny, equal morally, intellectually, in every way except one. One was male and one was female, and Ayn Rand believed, I think she's explained many times, that because of the nature of the anatomical difference between the two species, specifically the sexual difference, man has a certain strength by his anatomical nature within the sexual realm that a woman does not. The rape scene, in a dramatic way, was an illustration of this. Man, she thought, was the hero, woman the hero worshiper, and she herself was exactly that way. From my observation, she preferred men over women, although she admired women and could become friendly to them. And then the question goes on, could Ayn Rand have written a novel on the scale of The Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged that did not include an ideal female character? Well, I think she could have, just as she, in We the Living, wrote a novel that did not include an ideal male character. But I doubt that she would have, since she thought that a romantic sexual relationship was really essential to the view of man that she wanted to present. Maybe as a short stunt novel, she could do it, but I don't see her as wanting to do that. If Ayn Rand had been born 50 years later, even in a free country, do you think she still would have been able to write the equivalent of Atlas Shrugged? I have in mind a cultural deterioration over the 20th century. And my answer is yes. Her goal was a vision, to make that vision real. And by the time of Atlas Shrugged, she believed that she had fully achieved that and made objective in full detail what her vision of man and life was. And that vision was independent of the outside culture, including her desire to objectify it. That was independent of the outside culture. She had that vision and passion in essence from the time as a girl in the Soviet Union, which is worse than our cultural deterioration today. Now, after she had expressed her full vision in Atlas Shrugged, the culture would make a difference because she no longer had the internal passion, and she very well and often did say, I can't write in this kind of world. I believe in realism, not escapism, and I can't set a novel in this type of world. So I agree with the implication of the second part. That's it for today. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, go ahead and ask me a question by writing to Leonard at peacock.com or if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.